Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord, would you? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Well, the Lord is in this place today. Oh, thank you, God. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is so wonderful. Please do keep the Kilpatrick family in your prayers. Brother John Kilpatrick passed away this week or last week now. And 82 years old. He, along with a whole lot of their family members, came into our church 1998. He was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And we will be having his funeral here at 3 o'clock on Saturday. So when Brother Irv Manley finishes celebrating his 100th birthday, then we will take a little break. That is the ministers that will be involved. And then we'll have the funeral here at 3. So I think there's plenty of time for both. But, by the way, Irv Manley was 59 years old when I came here to pastor. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we've sung a lot of upbeat choruses today. Let me ask you a question. When everyone is in the holy city, well, let's say now, because we know that people are there and they're praising the Lord. People are dancing, jumping up and down, praising God. What do you think Jesus is doing? What do you think his response to all that is? You think he's just looking out, kind of deadpan-like, and says, well, they're doing a pretty good job. You know, you think about it. Now, the Italian artists have painted pictures of Jesus for years, and, you know, he looks somewhat like a sissy, you know. Well, he didn't grow up that way. He was a son of a carpenter. He knew how to be a carpenter. And, by the way, in those days, you didn't go down to Home Depot or Menards and get lumber. You had to go out and get it and chop it down and split it and square it up. And probably had calluses on his hands. That's the kind of carpenter he was. Now, evidently, because the scripture is full of scriptures about praising the Lord. We just sung today this beautiful chorus, Lift Up Your Voice and Sing for Joy. I don't know why, but some Christians think they have to be so sober all the time. Just sober to the point of being condemning if someone laughs. Went to a country church just before I moved to Wisconsin. I preach, in fact, the last place that I preached. And when the service leader got up, actually it was a lady, she started singing, Smile a While, Give Your Face a Rest. She kept going and kept going and kept going. I wonder why she's going so long. She finally said, look, I'm not going to stop until people start smiling. Why do you have to beg Christians to smile? When we got the whole book. Just tell me why. The funniest thing I think that ever happened to me that was a very serious thing, when I was pastoring in Cushing, Texas, a lady called me from Mount Enterprise, Texas. And I knew her. I didn't know anything about her church or anything. She said, Brother Grant, would you like to come and preach for us? And I said, well, when would you like me to come? She said, this Sunday. I said, well, I don't know if I could be there this Sunday. Now, keep in mind now, this is in the South. I grew up 24 miles from this place, and they used language that I never heard. When I went to Cushing also, that's 25 miles south of Henderson, they used language I never heard. When they referred to somebody, they just said a body. That's what they'd say. I asked a gentleman how far it was to Henderson. He said, well, the plank says. They said plank. He said a sign. Well, theoretically, it's a plank, I guess. He said the plank says 24 miles, but if a body scurries along, he can make it in about 20 minutes. What? Never heard anything like this. So Sunday afternoon, Sister Grant and I, as soon as church was over, we loaded ourselves and the kids in the car. We went to Mount Enterprise. The church was right next door to a hardwood sawmill. In other words, they made hardwood for floors. And they made smaller pieces. Well, it depends on what grade you wanted. When I go in the front door, I told her, I said, I may be just a little bit late because it's going to really push me to have an altar service and get there. The floor started down here. It went up the wall, across the ceiling, back down. Just solid hardwood. It was all finished off, you know, bright, shiny. I wonder what the acoustics were like in there. But at any rate, when I walk in and greet the lady that called me, she kind of smiled. I was looking around. She says, we like hardwood. I think it goes without saying, but nevertheless. So when she stands up, you know, and everybody stands up, I think the youngest person there was probably way past retirement. And what she did was she said, I'd like to know if you'd like for Brother Grant to come and preach for us. Now, I didn't know what she meant when she was saying that. I thought she meant one thing. She thought something else. And I said, oh, yeah, all right. All of you would like Brother Grant to come preach for us. Would you please stand? Well, I'm already there to preach. I mean, why vote on it now? But when they voted, she looked at me and she said, well, you have a unanimous vote here. So I'd like for all of you people to be seated. Now, please understand. Brother Grant pastors another church, and he may not be able to always get here when you call. I thought, now, wait a minute. I'm being hornswaggled. You ever hear that? Now, of course, down in Texas, they don't say, did you ever hear? They say, jiver, just jiver. Did you ever hear that? So that's a shortcut for did you ever. It's just jiver. Did you ever hear that? So at any rate, I didn't know what to say, and she kept talking about me being their pastor and everything. I said, they just voted me in as pastor. Now I've got to get up and preach, and I've got to straighten this up. So I get up and I apologize that I didn't make a statement before. And I said, I'm sorry, I did not really know that you were going to vote today. Oh, my. And I said, you know, I am not going to be able to accept your offer as pastor of the church. And they started crying. And they cried and they cried. I said, we've been fasting and praying. Oh, me. Now I'm supposed to preach. I couldn't get a smile out of anybody. I said, please, folks, would you please smile? This is not the end of the world. Oh. I wanted to cry, you know. Sister Grant and I went to a church here in Wisconsin probably 20 years ago. And had a pretty good-sized crowd, pretty good-sized church. The pastor was a fun-loving guy. It's always pulling pranks on people. But when I finished and we got out the car, I said, did you notice something kind of different about this? She said, did I ever? I said, what? She said, nobody, absolutely nobody smiled. And she said, I stood back by the door and people just came back and just came by me and did like this. Like, I said, I must have done a bad job then. You know, that's all they could do. And I remember going one time to a church and I preached. When I got to preach, the pastor came, stood beside me, said, I'd like for all of you to stand. And so, and most of the people are standing already. He says, now, I know Brother Grant is feeling somewhat restricted. The devil's got this service all bound up. And people are not feeling liberty. Now, I'm standing there thinking, well, I feel good. Well, next, the very next year, watch night service, Brother Felix Crowder was invited. He said, Brother Grant, this pastor pulled a good one on me. I said, what? He said, when I stood up, he came up, put his arm around me and said, now, folks, I want all of you to stand up. He said, we're going to have to bind the devil. I said, Brother Crowder is feeling. I said, were you feeling like you? He said, no, I didn't feel any. I was ready to preach. I said, what did you do? He said, well, I want to know what you did. I said, you tell first and then I'll tell you. So he said, well, I just let them pray and they all started weeping and crying and people started coming down the front and some came up and knelt down, put their hands on my shoes and started praying for me. I got the feeling so sorry, you know, for the devil that he was getting blamed for all this. He said, and we just had a horrible service. I don't think they'll invite me back. He said, and what did you do? I said, you know what I did? I said, you'd never guess. I said, when they started praying, I said, hold it, everybody! I have a word from God. There's no dirty, rotten devil in hell that's big enough to stop victory in this house tonight. I said, we're going to resist the devil. He's going to flee from us. We're going to draw nigh unto God. He's going to draw nigh unto us. The crowd said, what'd they do? I said, men, they tore the place down. They shouted and screamed and ran the aisles. You know, sometimes what happens, we can really bind ourselves by not feeling liberty in the spirit. I pastored a man one time that he just never would smile. In almost every service, he'd come up and he'd say, Brother Grant. I said, what? He'd say, Psalm 143, 5. I'd say, what is that? He says, you don't know. I said, so I'm supposed to be smart enough. I said, no, I don't think I do. You better check it out. Next time I'd see him, he said, did you check that out? Sometimes I did, but most of the time I said, no, I'm telling you, I just, time just flew by and I didn't check. You better check it out. You know. And sometimes I'd check it out and I'd read it. I said, what's he talking about? What's so deep, dark, and mysterious about this? Whew, man. You know, now we didn't do this, but I had in mind that probably the best thing that could happen to him is that while he's around the altar praying, that I have four or five big guys just run up and tackle him, just drop him at the altar and jump on top of him and start tickling him. Just tickle him to death. Just make him smile. Just get up, laugh. Stop all this gloomy business. What in the world? So it makes you wonder, you know, with God encouraging people to laugh and be glad and rejoice, and makes you wonder what he's doing in heaven when everybody's just running and just having a great big heavenly hoedown. Now, one thing that I like about Calvary Gospel Church, and that is that people like to laugh. One thing that we always laughed in my home, and when I started dating Darlene, she liked to laugh. She liked to. In fact, when she was young, she was blonde. Okay. To this day, she still tells me blonde jokes. Now, I understand that's not politically correct. Is that right? But in our house, it's okay. In fact, she told me one this week. You want to hear it? No. Just joking with you. Now, Jesus, in the fourth chapter, let's read the fourth chapter. We're starting it, and you can just continue to be seated. What I want to do is just explain some things. Here, Jesus is having a great revival. So in Matthew 4:24, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Now notice chapter 5, what happens. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain when he was set. And his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, in other words, what happened? They had seen this great revival taking place. They had seen the Holy Ghost coming down and touching people and healing people. I mean, people that had all kinds of diseases. And what he did was he just retreated, went up into a mountain, and all the people followed him. He said, now wait just a minute, everybody. I want you to sit down. And I want to teach you now. In other words, there's got to be balance in your relationship. So he began to expound in what is considered to be the greatest sermon in the whole Bible is the Sermon on the Mount. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the word blessed is translated in several different translations as happy are the poor in spirit. Now, every time you see blessed in the Bible does not mean that it should be translated happy. But the people that were translating the Bible, they translated happy, I think, simply because of verse 11 and verse 12. And we'll get there in a minute. Verse 4, happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. In other words, happy are they, even when you're crying, there is an undergirding of joy, gladness, and happiness. Have you ever seen anyone cry and laugh at the same time? I have. I've been beside of many people, right beside them at the coffin where they were about to say goodbye to their loved one. and they were crying at the same time, then they were laughing. They said, oh, but what a great victory, you know. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Happy are they that are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Happy are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, isn't this something? All the way from mourning and crying to being persecuted, and you can still be happy. I've had people say, but I can't stop crying. You don't know what I've been through. So look, I've been through a lot too. Tell me, Brother Gannon, how can you just keep on smiling and keep on being happy? Because I tell you something else I've been through. I haven't just been through a trial. I've been at an altar where God met me. I've wrestled with the angel of God until he touched me. I can see beyond. I can see beyond what I see right now. I can see victory. I can see what God can do. And listen, if I ever get to the place that I walk around gloomy and everything, some of you guys gang up on me and throw me down and tickle me till I can laugh, okay? And lay hands on me and pray for me till I can laugh in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I would not want to leave this world and go into the presence of God gloomy, sad, disappointed that life was not fair with me. How many bitter Christians do you know of? How many gloomy Christians do you know of? If you've got children in your family, you know what I recommend? I tell people a long time, if you've got children in your family, you know what you need to do? You need to have play sessions with them, which you tickle them often. Teach them to smile. Some of you, you're so wrapped up in your ministry and everything that you think you can't smile, but do you realize how much of a disservice you're doing to your ministry, acting the way you're acting? I mean, who in the world wants to be around you, old sore head? Really? You know, you think about it. So, oh, here he comes, better hide. You cannot share the good news until you become the good news. We're talking about worship this month. It's been such a great month. I really, really appreciate Calvary Gospel Church and the worship and our praise singers. Isn't it doing an awesome job? Oh. Now, let's read on, though. So, in verse 11, Jesus said, blessed or happy are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Happy? Happy when people are calling your names? Now, you know what I think? You know, I think what he's really saying is, at least they know you are here. If you're not happy and you're gloomy and you walk the streets with your head down, feeling sorry for yourself, probably they won't even know that you're my disciple. At least you've got people's attention. And when, you see, this is what, when he set them down to teach them, he didn't say anything about salvation. He wasn't teaching them how to be saved. He was teaching them how to live after they were saved. And verse 12, boy, I like this. Rejoice and be glad. No, exceeding glad. Oh, my why the word exceeding is placed in here. It kind of blows your mind, doesn't it? Exceeding means going beyond the limits, doing more than what you would normally do or what is expected. So if you are exceeding glad, now when you're glad, what happens? You start smiling, don't you? Make a kid happy. You don't have to go to a kid and say, now look, you're happy. And when you're happy, you're supposed to smile. And when you smile, what you do, you kind of turn your lips up, you know. And it's okay to make some expression. That's not what he said, though. He said, rejoice. How do you rejoice? If your parent does something, let's say if a dad does something for a son, and the son likes it, he says, well, that was nice, Dad. I thank you. You're a good guy. Now, some people that way about their God. I hear people say, but I'm just not that kind. That's why I am talking the way I am. Because I know if you were in front of a television set and you were watching the Packers and they were behind, but now the last play was going to be a touchdown strike and the guy's 4 foot from the goal line, you're already on your feet, you're clapping your hands, you're happy, you're exceeding glad, and you let everybody know. In fact, sometimes you get so excited you can't even talk. And when you see people come to God, when you see God take a sinner and fill him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, like last Sunday night. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And those CIP grads were up here and they were talking. When you see people do this, and you see others running around here and jumping up and down and everything, don't you dare just sit back and say, well, I'm just not that kind. When David danced in the streets, when his wife Michal saw him, she called him in and rebuked him. He was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. God was so unhappy about her rebuking, he placed a curse upon her. And this is what God says, I will shut your womb up so that you do not bring forth a child. What God was saying is, I don't want someone in Israel like this, having the high profile of being the king's wife, to have a little child running around that this woman can influence. Because when people are worshiping God, I don't want you criticizing. And if you feel that you can't keep up with Mark Nikilski or some of these other people or Noah Strand, you know, I'm telling you, I came here one time for prayer and Noah was praying and he was like my son Steve. He had so much energy. Oh my. We went to Texas and he was asleep with his grandpa. He was just a little tot. And so I tried to tell him. I said, listen, I remember when I was a little kid, I couldn't sleep with him because I'd have to itch or turn over. You know what he'd always say? He was a real light sleeper. He'd say, John Wesley, be still. You can scratch in the morning. So Steve got to sleep with his grandpa. Well, the next morning, breakfast table, Darlene said, how did it go last night with Steve? He said, well, I just put it this way. I checked the sheets today because I knew he turned over enough to wear the sheets out. Noah's going, I said, man. You know, I just get tired. I actually got tired shortness of breath. Just watch it. Now, I might be exaggerating just a little bit, you know. But then, you know, you think about where Noah came from.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. Oh, thank you, God. Nothing pleases God more than his children when they display gladness or happiness in worship. Rejoice. The word rejoice means to feel good or to show great joy, to be made glad. If you want to please God and you want to get the most out of your relationship, just remove as much negativity that you possibly can. But see, that's what the devil wants. He wants you to feel that he's binding you. Can the devil bind you? Only when he receives direct permission from Jesus to do so. That is the only way. Let's go to 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. And sometimes you do go through trials. And when those trials come, you know, the best thing for you to do is to remember. Remember always that God doesn't change. He doesn't change at all. So 1 Peter 5. Well, let's go 1 Peter 4 first. No, let's just go with 5. Okay. Verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Now, be sober and be vigilant. Sober doesn't mean that you go around like you have a dill pickle wedge sideways in your mouth. That's not what that means. It simply means that, hey, even though I rejoice all the time, I'm not going to get so giddy that my brains fall out. You know, one of the hardest things in life to do is acquire balance. I've seen some people that were so narrow-minded that if they fell face forward on a single pin, they'd poke both eyeballs out. But I've seen people so broad-minded that they can't tip their head over, their brains will fall out. Now notice what he says. Be vigilant, be sober. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast with faith. Now, here's the thing. The devil is what? No, he's not a roaring lion. He walketh about he wants you to think he is a roaring lion. He wants you to think that he could take you down in a moment's time. He wants you to think. But his roar is not as bad as you might think. Now let's go back to chapter 4. All right. Chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as if though some strange thing happened to you. In other words, let's say that the devil approaches God and says, I want to, you give me a chance. Just turn me loose on Pastor Grant. I'll show you. That's what happened to Job, you know. But notice what happens, verse 13. So what are you supposed to do? Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Oh, I didn't tell you what the title of my message is, did I? Happiness is the way of life. Not a way of life, but the way of life. It's not optional for Christians. How can you be like Christ if you just keep your mind on yourself and keep your mind on your problems? And, you know, if I want to get down, all I got to do is start thinking about my problems and everything. You have problems, Brother Grant? Oh, wouldn't you like to know? But see, it's not in the problem where you get glory. That's not it at all. I know there was a time in which everybody that got out of prison, everybody that ever killed anybody, they went from church to church and they gave their testimony, you know, about suffocating their grandmother and killing a guard and all of this and getting so drunk that they ate. They drank the whiskey and chewed up the glass. And what glory does God get out of that? Now, it's okay, but what I'm saying is that after a while, you got to say, wait a minute. You know, Paul said, you need to be real ignorant concerning the things of the devil and the world. Be simple. That's what he used the word simple. Be simple. Oh, my. You know, somebody asked me, Brother Grant, do you have any regrets? Oh, come on. You know I'm human. Do I have regrets? And you say, what are they? None of your business. I don't want to. It's some of those things that's... All I have to do to get depressed is start telling everybody I'm depressed. If I start telling everybody just how bad I feel all the time, it's just getting depressed. If you don't feel good and people ask you, how are you doing today? Which is really just a greeting. It's not really, they're not soliciting for a medical report. How you feeling? If you don't feel so good, why can't you just do like Dave Ramsey and say, better than I deserve? That's how I'm feeling. Because if I got what I deserve, I would be in hell right now burning. And the reason why that I'm so happy and the reason why that I can maintain is because that I constantly worship God, constantly praise the Lord, constantly understand that the devil, you know. Oh, what does James say in James 5, verse 7 and 8? Resist the devil, he'll flee from you, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. You had a new convert in our church probably at least 35 years ago, so that eliminates most of you from remembering who it is. She got in this habit of calling me. Called me like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Brother Grant, I got the phone by the bed and I'm lying here with my head covered up. Can you hear me? Yep. What's going on? The devil's in this room. Are you sure? Oh, yeah. I said, how do you know? She said, as I peep out every now and then, I see the curtains and they're just going back and forth. They're breathing, the devils. What am I supposed to do? I said, well, let me ask you again. Who'd you say was in the room? The devil. I said, oh, only the devil? Well, just turn over and go to sleep. Why are you afraid of the devil? Now, keep in mind, you are no match for the devil. But can I tell you something? I've heard people say, Lucifer came. Now, look, you're not that important that Lucifer, the big cheese of hell, is going to come to your house. Now, he may have some down the line guys lined up. But not Lucifer. I've heard people say, Lucifer came to our church. Are you kidding? Do you think you're making that big of a dent in your city that Lucifer's going to come? No, he might have some devils lined up going to come. But you see, I'm no match for the devil, but the reason why that I walk with him, hold hands with him, follow everything he says in the scripture, you know. I'm telling you, if Jesus said it, you got to believe it. Happy are ye. Has everybody smiled today? Smile a while and give your face a rest. Raise your hands to the one you love the best. Turn around to someone near. Shake their hands and smile. I got to hurry along here. Sister Grant and I went to Connecticut to preach their district conference. This is about maybe 4 years ago now. And so we got there early, checked in our room. We decided we'd eat a bite before conference. So there was an Olive Garden there. Now, the Olive Garden out there was much bigger than the one we have here. It was a big place. So we're in there. And there was a table that must have been 20 feet long. Of course, they had put all the tables together, you know, make it that long. And there were Italian people. I assume they were Italian. They were talking a language I didn't understand. And while we sat down, they were just jabbering. All of a sudden, they started laughing. And they laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. I mean, they were just, wow, you know, what you call a big belly laugh, you know. They were just, I mean, they were laughing. They had some possible champion laughers there, you know. I never heard anything like it. But Sister Grant and I got tickled. You know, laughter's contagious. And we started laughing. And then the server came over with our drink, because we'd already ordered. And she started laughing. I said, What are they saying? What are they laughing about? She said, I don't know. She said, they're Italian. They come in here all the time. But all while we were in there, we didn't do anything but laugh. There's some cultures that are way, you know, that way. The Italians are that way. They like to get together, and they like to eat, and they like to laugh. You remember when Sarah had her baby, Isaac? See, when the angels of the Lord spoke to her and spoke to Abraham, told her she was going to conceive and bear a son, she laughed. But she didn't laugh for joy. She laughed because she thought, this is impossible. But the Bible says in Genesis 21, verse 5 and 6, that when Isaac was born, that she was in her tent, and Sarah was all alone, God hath made me to laugh. Now, it's not making fun. She was happy. So that all that hear will laugh with me. Can you see Sarah in that tent? Oh my God, look at this son. Oh, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Oh, all of a sudden, a lady on a tent next door. What are you laughing about? She said, I don't know. But Sarah's happy. After a while on the other side. Oh my, she was worshiping the Lord. Then all of a sudden, somebody back behind her. What are you laughing about? I don't know, but Sarah's laughing. What's so funny? I don't know, but it's just funny, you know. Just, oh, thank God, this is great. Oh. Praise God. Isn't it something? I saw in a plaque over at Cracker Barrel the other day, it says, laugh often. Laugh often. Rejoice. rejoice. Well, I'm not going to be able to finish this, obviously, so I've got another page. But I'll tell you what, I'll get around to finishing it. Okay. I want you to stand with me. Just turn and greet someone and just laugh. Oh, hallelujah! Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, aren't you glad that you know the Lord? Aren't you glad that He saved you? Aren't you glad that He put your feet on the solid rock? Aren't you glad that He gave you the promise of heaven and took away the curse of hell? Aren't you glad that you have brothers and sisters of like precious faith that know how to smile, know how to have a good time, know how to laugh? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Negativity will take it all away. Bitterness will take it all away. Then you'll look back and say, I don't know why I ever gave my heart to God. Maybe you wouldn't be bold enough to say that, but you know, you're thinking that. So, oh my. I've had people, no telling that to people over the years, come in and say, I think I'm just going to give up. What do you want to give up for? Well, it's just hard. It's hard to be a Christian. Well, it is. See, here's the thing. If you try to live for God easy, it's hard. But if you try to live for God hard, it's easy. You know what I mean by that? Living for God hard? Just believe in all of His commandments. Man, if God said to do it, I want to do it. What God wants me to do just tickles me to death. If God tells me to pay my tithes, I'm going to believe God. It just tickles me to death. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God says be baptized in Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues. Just tickles me to death. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Put your hands together.